ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 25 एंटाइटल्ड द ग्लोरीज ऑफ लॉर्ड अनंता टेक्स्ट 10 मूर्तिम् न पुरु कृपया बभारसत्वम् मूर्तिम् न पुरु कृपया बभारसत्वम् संशुद्धम् सदसद् इदम् विभाति तत्र संशुद्धम् सदसद् इदम् विभाति तत्र य लीला मृगपतिरदादि अनाव्यद्यम् य लीला मृगपतिरदादि अनाव्यदम् अदातुम् स्वजन मनासि उदारवीर्यः आदातुम् स्वजना मनांसि उदारवीर्यः मूर्ति ट्रांसलेशन एंड प्रपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद दिस मैनिफेस्टेशन ऑफ सटल एंड ग्रोस मैटर एग्जिस्ट विद इन द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड Out of causeless mercy toward his devotees, he exhibits various forms which are all transcendental. The Supreme Lord is most liberal and he possesses all mystic power. To conquer the minds of his devotees and give pleasure to their hearts, He appears in different incarnations and manifests many pastimes. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami has translated this verse as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. It is by His will that gross and subtle ingredients interact. He appears in various incarnations just to please the hearts of his pure devotees. For example, the Supreme Lord appeared in the transcendental incarnation of Lord Varaha, the boar, just to please his devotees by lifting the planet Earth from the Garbhodaka ocean. We've been hearing from Sukadeva Goswami Maharaj through Srila Prabhupada's purports in the previous chapter about the description of the subterranean Bilaswarga heavenly planets. And below that, according to the universal construction, below the Patala Loka, by a large distance of some 24,000 miles, is Ananta Shesha, who is holding the entire universe on his heads. And in this particular chapter, knowing that this is a very important subject, Sukadeva Goswami is devoting one full chapter to simply focusing on the glories. He did not focus on the glories of these planets. In one or two shlokas, one shloka on Atal Loka, one shloka on Mahatal, one shloka on Rasatal. In just few shlokas, he has wound up the whole thing. It is one of the smallest chapters of Bhagavatam, probably. Because it is not so relevant for devotees, you know, what is happening in Atal and Sutal and Vital. But even talks about Sutal, he gives few shlokas more. He elaborates on Sutala Loka, because this is relevant to Bhagavats, the devotees. So, He talks elaborately on Bali Maharaj and like that. But then, as he goes further down from Rasatal Patal, he focuses on a whole chapter on the glories of the Lord Himself, who is in His very transcendental feature of Ananta Shesha. And this chapter is devoted to understanding His glories. So in this particular specific purport, which we are reading today, the purport Prabhupada says is the Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes, and it is by His will that gross and subtle ingredients interact. So the focus of the whole discussion is on the will of the Lord. So we can spend some time today on understanding the glory of the will of the Lord. Actually, the Lord is a person. He has a mind, His eyes, nose, is all features of what we see in this world as a person, a personality. So just like we have this power of thinking, willing and feeling, so also the Lord also thinks, feels and wills. In fact, we think, feel and will because He thinks, feels and wills. Because janamadyasayataha, we can only do these, we only have these faculties in us because they originally exist in Him. So, what is the will of the Lord? The will of the Lord actually is the most powerful thing in creation. It is insurmountable. Srila Prabhupada explains that the Lord has, the Upanishads tell us, parasya shakti vividhaiva shruyate subhave ki jnana bala kriyacha, that the Lord has got multifarious potencies, so many potencies. It says here also, that the Lord possesses all mystic power. That means so many mystic potencies. Swabhavaki, the word swabhavaki is very nice and important. Swabhavaki means just naturally, just spontaneously, just effortlessly, nonchalantly, very easily. Swabhavaki jnana bala kriyacha. And automatically, by this process of just thinking, everything is just happening. He doesn't have to really exert himself. Swabhaviki. Prabhupada says the Lord has got Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, and Kriya Shakti. There are three such specific Shaktis. Beginning with the Ichha Shakti, which is this, the will of the Lord. So, how the entire creation which takes place, what is the power of the will of the Lord? That simply when He thinks something, He just has to think, He just has to have a thought, and it takes place. It is very fantastic. For us human beings here, it is something extraordinary. We can practically not do anything just by thinking about it. Just think that I should be prasad ready now, or think that I should go to this place, or think I should be a millionaire. Just by thinking, nothing really happens unless you really do something. You say, why don't you do something about it? We talk something like that. You're just thinking and speaking. Why don't you do something about it? What are the use of just talking? So, if it's not true with the Lord, the Lord thinks and doesn't do anything. He just sits back. Because that itself is complete. It's complete. Thinking itself, there's a Lord is complete, so His willing itself is complete. When He thinks, it is a complete process all by itself. It doesn't have to be followed by action and follow-up of that action. He thinks and happens. So Lord desires, I think the Bible says that, right? The Lord wanted light and there was light. It has happened. The Lord wants the creation to take place. Imagine the creation, how fantastic it is, how huge it is, how complex it is. This one body itself is so complex, the Creator's body. Each cell is so complex. Even after millions of, not millions, but at least thousands of years now, the scientists cannot make even one cell. They cannot even make the covering of the cell membrane they cannot make. So even that is so difficult, even if the people desire to make, they cannot make even a cell lining. What about making the mitochondria and the nucleus and the protoplasm? They cannot make anything. But the Lord, He just desires and creates the entire creation automatically. Saikshataha, He just glances. And then entire creation starts. And then He may just desire, okay, I think it's time up. Time to wind up. He just desires like that. Then automatically the Rudras manifest and Sankarshan manifest and then all the 11 Rudras come together and then this Pralaya and everything just comes inside and He breathes and then it goes inside. Yoga Nidra. Simply by sleeping. We can see, you know, when the Lord, it is like a specific thing, you know, that He does all this in His sleep. That let me say even more amazing. We are just sitting and really thinking about it, like really thinking about it hard and then doing it. That would be really, He's putting some effort there, you know, He's thinking very hard. Let there be creation, let there be creation. 2-3 times and then the creation comes. Okay? Like, you know, your magician said, yeah, he wants it to happen. And something may come. But He doesn't know, He's sleeping. It happens. When it comes inside the body also, that time also He's sleeping. He's simply sleeping. But it is not called Nidra. Because that would be, you know, like what we are doing. It is called Yoga Nidra. Now, only God can do Yoga Nidra. We can only do Nidra. That's why the Lord's Nidra is different than our Nidra. So that is the Lord's will. It happens. It is so beautiful. In the Golok Vrindavan, how things happen automatically, you can see. It was a time when the Lord had to come to this material world. Krishna says, okay, I have to go to the material world. I have to perform my pastimes, various incarnations. And He tells Srimati Radharani that I have to go to the material sky. Srimati Radharani is saying, oh, you are going? How can I live without you? Radha Krishna are inseparable. So I must come with you. So, but I would not like to come with you unless there is, because Srimati Radharani is primarily there for giving the Lord pleasure. She is Lord's pleasure potency. So she would not like to come just alone by herself. She would need some facilities whereby she could enhance the Lord's leela of pleasure. So I need Govardhan, I need Yamuna, I need, they have to come also. So here, by Krishna knowing His will being so powerful that He knows what Radharani will sort of ask for. He had already known what will be Radharani's desire. So already He said, they are already there. They are already there in the material world. At other time, when Radharani wanted to serve the Lord in a very special way, so it is said that the Lord was manifesting on the love of His heart for Srimati Radharani. And He wanted to give her something which should make her happy. He was just desiring something. I should give something to Radharani which would make her happy. And there from His heart emerged a thumb-sized small mountain called Govardhan. He was just desiring to give pleasure to Srimati Radharani and then automatically that Govardhan came. So it is such a spontaneous thing for the Lord to do these things. He just desires and it happens automatically. And then it grew into the big huge mountain which descended later on in the material world, Bhauma Vrindavan. So this is the Lord's will. It is all powerful. How does the will of the Lord descend in this material world? How do we get to know the will of the Lord? The Lord is in the spiritual sky. How do the jivatmas who are struggling in this material, how do they get to know what the will of the Lord is? So let us discuss the descent of the will of the Lord. The Lord's will in this world descends to the Holy Scriptures. We get to know what the Lord wants out of us by reading His holy words. Moses, the great Acharya, he was in communion with the Lord and he went up the mountain. And being in complete union with the Lord, there's a burning bush there. And through the burning bush spoke. And through that, the commandments of the Lord were revealed. What the Lord wants us to do. After 40 days of intense prayer and meditation, Moses was revealed. It was revealed to Moses what the will of the Lord actually is. And then when he came down from the mountain with a tablet inscribed with not his own hands, but the will of the Lord was expressed clearly what he wants us to do. And when he came down as an acharya, he simply served those commandments and spread this word to all his people. So he was the connection between the people and the Lord. So the acharya is the person who really understands the will of the Lord. Because of what? Because of very, very close communion. By complete, pure, unalloyed surrender, the will of the Lord descends into the heart of his pure devotee. When Bhumidevi goes to Brahmaji, troubled by Kamsa and the other demons, she approaches Brahma for a solution because she is being harassed, practically tortured with such demoniac, powerful beings. So she wanted some relief. So she goes to Brahma. Brahma is not able to offer a solution. But he knows that, I would like to know in this situation what the will of the Lord actually is. Because that will be perfect. So Brahmaji is the communion between Bhumidevi and the Lord. Bhumidevi does not have direct communion. So Brahmaji closes his eyes and meditates. And the will of the Lord is revealed in the heart of Brahma. Adha Kavaye. And then Brahmaji, as we know, manifests. He said, all of you demigods should appear in the womb of the demigods. And I myself will come very soon in the land of Braj. So the will of the Lord was revealed through the agency of Lord Brahma. Why? Because again, he is a pure, unalloyed devotee of the Lord. So unless one is pure, there is no access to understand the will of the Lord. Purity is that particular quality. Purity and surrender gives us access to the Lord's heart. How difficult it is to understand the Lord's heart, can we imagine? You can understand anybody's heart in this world practically. Even wife and husband can live together for 40 years and not know what is in each other's heart. When you know the heart, means you to know the person. When you say, I know the heart of this person, means you know the person. But people can stay for years together as friends or husband and wife and like that, but not really get to know what the person is. Suddenly you see a different behavior. Suddenly you see, this person has changed. Suddenly, I didn't expect this. I knew for years and look at this. He's cheated me or he's gone away or this and that. So what to talk of a person staying in the material world, the Lord staying in the spiritual world, and how you're supposed to understand the heart of the Lord. One of the most amazing aspects which I find in Chaitanya Charitamrita is the revelation of Kaviraj Goswami of the Lord's thought processes in the Adi Leela. But what the Lord is thinking before his coming here as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now that is a very fantastic psychoanalysis of the Lord's mind and heart. He's thinking, the Lord is thinking in Goloka Vrindavan, I come to the material world, but I do not give my pure love to everybody. Because love which is weakened by, by Aishwarya Bhav, doesn't really attract me. So I want to give a love which is free from free from awe and reverence and veneration. A type of love which is experienced by the Brijvasis. He's thinking all these things. It is one of the deepest meditation of the Lord's heart. Before just coming as the rarest avatar, what are the thought processes which led to the descent of this rare Anarpita avatar? What was in his heart that time, which prompted him to come? That thought process of the Lord's will is revealed by Kaviraj Goswami. How fantastic, how beautiful, how mystically pure that we Jivatmas are able to understand what the Lord was thinking in Goloka Vrindavan before he came here. Fantastic, beautiful. So through Kaviraj Goswami, who is in union with the Lord, we get to know what the Lord's thought processes are. What is his will? What is his desire? Why is he coming here? He's coming to give that rare commodity of pure love, which was not given by even by him in all of the previous incarnations. So he has a specific will to execute, and he comes to execute that. Very nice. Talking about the Lord's descent, talking about his descent in this world, there are two, three various beautiful examples in our scriptures where how by pure surrender, not only can we know the will of the Lord, but we can know the will of the Lord through by surrendering to his devotees. The classic example in the Sri Sampradaya is of Ramanujacharya. Being so surrendered to the Lord, he could understand not only the Lord himself, but he could understand the heart of his spiritual master also. We know the classic story of Yamunacharya with his three fingers closed when he departed from this world. Now he had so many sincere disciples dedicated to his loving service, but not, and they were all confused. Why the fingers of my spiritual master are closed? And Ramanujacharya was given the news to come, but he came little late because 4 days to come from Srirangam to Kanchipuram and then to go back took time. So by the time he went, Guru Maharaj had left. It was such a perplexing enigma to the disciples. What does this really mean? And who would unravel this mystery of the fingers being closed? But Ramanujacharya, by his pure intuitive power, he penetrated into the heart of Yamunacharya. Even though he was not there physically in this world, he could enter into the heart of Yamunacharya and decipher, by entering into the heart, what is your desire, Gurudev? And then reveal to the whole world three specific desires. His first desire, Guru Maharaj wants that I should, my dear Guru Maharaj, I will preach the glories of pure devotion all over the country of India. First finger open. Gurudev, I will write a bhashya, a Shri Bhashya, a Bhashya Vedanta Sutra for our Sampradaya. Second finger open. And I will name one of my disciples as Parashara, after the name of Parashara Muni, the great giver of Vishnu Puran. And third finger open. Wow! This is fantastic. This is a miracle. This is amazing. How could somebody understand the heart of somebody who is not even physically present in front of you? We can't understand somebody's heart when he's with you, so close to you. And this person has gone to the spiritual sky and still understands his heart. That is will. Knowing the will of the great Acharya by dint of pure, unalloyed surrender. It is so beautiful. Similar example in our Sampradaya, Gaudiya Sampradaya, is Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami wrote this beautiful verse describing the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he tucked that verse on the top of the roof. And Mahaprabhu entered that kutir and he picked up that verse and he read that. And he was so amazed because what the Lord was thinking and feeling during Ratha Yatra was revealed in that verse. And seeing that, even the Lord was surprised. How could Rupa Goswami understand my heart? How is it possible? Because the Lord's heart, please know, is extremely confidential. His heart is full of guhyatamam. Nobody can understand the will of the Lord. Nobody. One quality of a devotee, among 26 qualities, is gravity. What is the meaning of gravity? Gravity means you cannot understand what is in a person's heart. Prabhupada had that quality. He was grave. He was just grave. Sometimes we see Radhanath Swami also. Grave. The great souls have this quality. You just can't understand what is in his heart and mind. How to deal with him in that situation. What to talk, how to talk, what to do, what not to do. You're just scared of approaching him also. Just grave. Very grave. The Lord is like that. He is the source of all gravity. Not only this gravity, force of gravity in this world, the power of gravity, but he is grave, personified in all his fullness. So who can understand the heart of a person who is grave? Sometimes you tell said, Prabhu, what, I see, you know, you are disturbed. Please tell me what is the problem. Because you don't know what the problem is. Is your stomach aching, your head paining, you lost your wife, you lost your money, you lost your, what is, why are you disturbed? Then somebody has to say it, I'm disturbed because of this. Huh? As you can't know, you can never know what is going on. Huh? So who can understand the Lord's heart? So, because it's full of gravity. Huh? But here we can see, Mahaprabhu was really surprised. How did Rupa Goswami know my heart? So the mother replied, my dear Lord, because he has received, you have given him your causeless mercy. Huh? That is the potency which Rupa Goswami has got. Therefore, it is so wonderful to note that Rupa Goswami's Pranam Mantra unravels this particular mysterious part of his life. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam. He has understood what is the Lord's innermost desire. Huh? No other acharya has got this very exclusive Pranam Mantra, which is so special, and it is so befitting that the founder acharya of Gaudiya Sampradaya should have this Pranam Mantra. Because only a person who is the founder acharya, he is like the next number two to the Lord himself. Number one in the hierarchy is the Lord himself, and number two actually, and there are six Goswamis, but technically number two is Rupa Goswami. He is the founder acharya, and we all of us therefore are designated as Rupanugas. And there are six Goswamis, but we all call as Rupanugas, and that's a glorious designation to have, that we are followers of Rupa Goswami. And we know that we are on the right path because the person who is heading us, our leader, is a person who is completely conversant with the Lord's desire. So if you just follow him, you are doing what the Lord actually wants. No problems. No confusion. Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitamina Bhutale. We are praying that that personality who was completely aware of the Lord's heart may give us his blessings. Therefore we say it every day during our lectures. May that Rupa Goswami give me shelter his lotus feet. Padantikam. What is the specific feature? There are specific features of how do we know that a person actually is in touch with the will of the Lord. There may be many, but I just thought of two. One thing is that person actually becomes completely, utterly fearless. Now, while Jesus Christ was preaching his dogma of pure devotion, which he learned, as we know from Vaishnava connections in India, he was going against the entire establishment at the time. He was one man challenging an entire Roman Empire. Now, who has the power to do that? You cannot even challenge a policeman in front of you. If a policeman comes in front of you and says, blah, 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 you cannot even challenge him, even if you are innocent. You cannot even bypass a policeman or an inspector or a commissioner or a police. He said, you are arrested. He said, you cannot fight him. Can you imagine challenging an entire empire of powerful Romans who had money, power, palaces, everything? One man says, all this is bogus. It's challenging a whole church. It's all bogus. Who has the power to do that? That is the power of God working through this person. Therefore, it's called a Shaktyavesh avatar. That means the Shakti of the Lord is Avesh, has entered. Srila Prabhupada embodied this quality in his perfection. Here is a person who is outrightly challenging scientists of the world. In a world which is called the scientific era, we are not in that, you know, in the 15th century where there was practically no science. There was some renaissance going on, but there was no real science. 18th century, industrial revolution started. But in 18th century, in 200 years, we have made such phenomenal progress. We call it the scientific era, the jet age, where everything is mechanized, everything is science. Science has become God now. There is no God. If science is God, that's what people say. Anyway, in the scientific era, for one old man of 70 years to say, this science is bogus. Because you're not talking about the highest, this is much inferior science. Because science means to know matter spirit and the controller are both. If you don't have this knowledge, your science is bogus. Completely challenges the atheistic establishment of the entire world, challenges all the godmen of this world, challenges all the, you know, upper sampradayas of this world, challenges the entire material setup of the time. Who has the power to do that? Who can challenge? Someone may be a pure devotee, that's fine. But to go and challenge, you know, the establishment, it requires such immense potency. But Prabhupada was so fearless because he was backed up by Krishna. That's the meaning of the word guru. Huh? The guru is heavy because he is backed up by understanding the will of the Lord. Prabhupada knew what the Lord wants. No matter what everyone else says, who cares? If my father wants it, I will say it. Let the world say anything. Huh? Who cares for the whole world's opinion? When all that put together on one span of the scale, and when guru says something, boom, guru is heavier. Why? Because he outweighs the world's opinion, because he's backed up by the will of the Lord. And the Lord is Akhila Jagat Guru, he's the heaviest. So his opinion outweighs everybody else. Huh? So that is one very special quality of a person who is in touch with the will of the Lord. He is utterly fearless. What talk of fearing death? That is, even the mystics don't fear death. It's much higher than that. And second quality is that he is always utterly peaceful. Huh? Why is he peaceful in all situations? Bhakti kame siddhi kame shakala ashanta, Krishna bhakta nishkama etayeva shanta. Because the pure devotee has got no separate will of his own. Why is he always peaceful? Because his will has merged, literally merged with the will of the Lord. He has no separate will of his own. His will is only to exude the will of the Lord. Thy will be done. Huh? Therefore, because he is doing the will of the Lord, no matter what happens in his life, he is completely like an ocean. He is completely peaceful. Srila Prabhupada was like that also. Huh? Like an ocean, always peaceful. Imagine starting a movement. You have to really move things to start a movement. You can't start a movement without moving things. You know, you imagine pushing a truck, you know, that requires so much of energy. You cannot move in a truck. Moving the entire establishment of the entire material world, moving all that is going the completely wrong direction. Try move an elephant in the right direction. Elephant is running in the wrong direction, fast. And you want the elephant running wrong? I said, you should also run there. He's running there. Can we stop the elephant and make him move there? The whole material creation is moving in the completely wrong direction. At fast speed. Prabhupada gave this example that the movement, like when if the thief is running on a motorbike very fast, then Swami is supposed to use no chappals, no cars, no vehicles, and just walking on the street, going all over from here to America, walking to America to preach Krishna consciousness. You reach after 10 years and you die there. What happens? He was flying here and there everywhere. The jet hit Swami. So the thief is running in a motorbike at 120 miles per hour. You have to run 130 miles. So you can catch him and say, Gunda, you can stand here. So Prabhupada was so powerful that even though the whole elephantine misconceptions of material creation are moving at fast speed in the wrong direction, Prabhupada even outspeeded them and checked. Huh? Sort of put a new noose around this wild animal. Huh? And checked him and said, you are wrong in the wrong direction. You're supposed to go that side. That is Satyavesh avatar. He can check the entire flow of the material creation practically. Huh? And why is he so powerful? Why is he feeling so confident? You know, in Prabhupada's style, when you see his videos and he talks, he's just so confident about what he says. Huh? And he looks at the moon. TV and said, they didn't go to the moon. And what confidence is that? He doesn't even think second time. Maybe they did go, but how can I say this? I should really consider American comment doing this. This is not the moon. What confidence is that? When we see Prabhupada's, hear Prabhupada's tapes, nobody can just escape this feeling that there is a man who just knows his subject so well and he's so confident that no question can ever defeat him. Prabhupada never got stumped with any question. Nobody could really stump him. He goes in these highly professional, highly paid people in America on the television shows, they just have to stump the person who comes for that show. Stump him, embarrass him, and then the whole audience, would laugh. He stumped him, What a question. He couldn't answer that. So this person asked, Swamiji, don't make ridicule. What is heaven and hell? What is hell? So London is hell. He just stumped. He didn't expect an answer. But he said, let us describe the scriptures. And he thought he would go into all that rambling, scripture, and this. But how do you know scripture exists? And he would ask some silly question like that and embarrass you. He said, London is hell. Tak, he was stumped. You try to stump a great soul, you get stumped yourself. So this is another quality, that a person who knows the will of the Lord is completely, utterly confident. And whatever he does, whatever he says, everything, he just does it. Why? Because somebody is telling him to do that and he's doing it. As simple as that. If somebody is telling you, you lift that thing and put it over there. It doesn't require big you just take that stool and put it there. Why? Who? He told me to do it. Okay. So Prabhupada is doing all these things, starting a movement. Now, what he did, Prabhupada did, was so amazing, which his predecessor Acharyas never did in one sense. No Swami in Gaudiya Sampradaya ever arranged a marriage of his disciples. Prabhupada did that. Now, how could he challenge the establishment? He did that. In Gaudiya Math, there would always be only a lone deity of Gauranga Mahaprabhu with Radha and Krishna. But Prabhupada installed Gaur and Nitai, both, for the first time. Now, what tells him to do that? In his Guru Maharaj's ashram, there was only Gauranga and Radha Krishna. But Prabhupada put Nityananda Prabhu in a separate altar because he knows that without you cannot approach this such a degraded age. That means Mahaprabhu's mercy in that sense is insufficient. Unless Nityananda Prabhu intervenes between the Jivatma and Gauranga Mahaprabhu, they will not get it. Because everyone is Jagai Madai. Jagai Madai's mercy comes through Nityananda to Jagai Madai. So that unless intervention of Nityananda Prabhu's mercy comes in, Mahaprabhu's mercy will still remain inaccessible to the devotees. So being in close communion with Nityananda Prabhu's heart, communion with Gauranga Mahaprabhu's heart, knowing the will of Gaur and Nitai, he said, okay, let there be Gaur and Nitai, both worshipped in our temples. What a change. It's change. In one sense, it's a change. But the change was not a change like a deviation change. A change to just makes the Lord's mercy more accessible to the conditioned souls. So that change is allowed by the Acharya, not by us. We cannot do that. But the Acharya can do that. From 64 rounds to 16 rounds, how could he do that? But that he can do. Because he's touched with the will of the Lord. So this is such a special thing. We are so safe in our movement here under Rupa Goswami, under Mahaprabhu, under Rupa Goswami and Prabhupada, because we know that whatever we are doing, whatever is there in Srila Prabhupada's books, is the explicit will of the Lord. And if I just do these few things which are mentioned in these books, I am doing the will of the Lord Himself. Manamana bhavo madhabhakto madhajvam namaskuru. Everything is performed. This is the meaning of surrender. Surrender means simply opening our hearts to allow the instructions of Guru and Krishna to enter. We cannot know the will of the Lord. There's no access. But when we hear from the great souls, everything becomes first class, everything becomes aligned. The problem in this material world is that the Lord has His will, which is descending in the form of scriptures from the sadhus. But then the problem is we have our own will also. That is the hurdle. Because we have the own will, which is against the will of the Lord. But just like you have a magnet, there's a powerful magnet, then each and every electron which is there, which has its own direction of net current, all gets aligned when the powerful magnet comes. All the iron filings get aligned, or the electrons in their own orbits with net particular direction of power. All these electrons, millions of them, get aligned when they come in contact with a powerful magnet. So Srila Prabhupada is that sort of a magnet. Krishna is that magnet. When you connect yourself with a magnet, you become magnetized. So Prabhupada is magnetized by Bhakti Siddhanta. Bhakti Siddhanta is magnetized by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And of the parampara, the supreme magnet is Krishna. And he is completely aligned with will of Brahma, is aligned himself with Krishna's will. Narada is aligned with Brahma's will. And in this way, you just have to connect yourself with the last magnet. The last magnet is available is Srila Prabhupada and his disciples, who are aligned with Prabhupada. And by being in touch with that magnet, you know that you are doing the will of Sri Krishna, which is manifesting through parampara. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions and comments? Granthrashi Mad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.